This is Edward October, host of October Pod on YouTube. Hear that jingle jingle? It could be Kris Kringle, or a home invader looking for an open window, a jilted lover looking for revenge, or a disgruntled co-worker hoping to spike your eggnog with arsenic. The girls of our true crime podcast are always on Santa's nice list, but the crimes they discuss are very naughty indeed. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, Jen. Happy 10 day. 10 day?
Hey, no, it's 8.
8. Happy 8th day.
On the 8th day, I was like, oh, crap, because we always do like a couple minutes of silence beforehand. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden I heard what sounds like the entire St. Louis Blues hockey team upstairs in my living room.
Hmm, okay.
It's only one person who's walking around like they're mad at the world. So.
Oh, I get that. That's okay.
Hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, I like it. What do you got for us today? I'm excited.
Today, we are going on our journey of the 12 Nightmares Before Christmas. We are going to head to Australia.
Woohoo!
And this is a fairly infamous case in Australia. And let me tell you this. I bought this book by the name of Crime and Punishment, 50 Crimes That Shocked Australia. And it's written by Alan Sharp. I'm going to get the most out of this book. And number 10 will also be something that I discovered from this book. It's pretty good. It's just little chapters like from 1800, I think, something all the way up until 1980s, 1990s, 1990s, something like that.
Yep.
It's actually very informative and I quite like it. So you will be hearing more from me.
Maybe I'll
get my
money's
worth out of it.
And I will steal it out from underneath you.
You could. No, seriously, it's really, there's a lot of these things that I would have never even looked up because I would never have known about it because it's in Australia.
I'm very excited for one. So let's go. Let's do this. Let's, get in there.
All right. So today, day 8, we are headed to Strathfield, which is a suburb in the inner west of Sydney in the state of New South Wales, Australia. On Saturday, August 17th, 1991, 33-year-old Wade Frankham entered the North Strathfield station. He was wearing a shabby, all-denim outfit with a gray beanie hat covering his freshly shaven head. Slung over his shoulder was a bag containing the famous classic book, Crime and Punishment, also a Bowie knife with a 10-inch blade, and an AK-47 style semi-automatic rifle, which was a Chinese military SKK type 84, or to more generally known, I know, or generally known as an SKS. Oh. My husband and I had this big debate, and SKS is the actual, there's like 100 different types of numbered SKSs, but only the number 84 can be referred to as SKK. The only difference is the SKK is that I could figure out on my own. The SKK is the only one that is always on automatic mode. Hmm. Never, you can't just do single shots. It's always automatic. But I could be wrong on that because I don't know my guns very well. I know kind of, but not very well. But I digress. Let's get back. So I walked into the station. And before he purchased his ticket, Clive Young, the station master, noticed that Wade had noticed Wade walk in, but he also noticed that he ditched the bag and hid it under the stairs. Now, Clive knew Wade because Clive was a cab driver and he would come pick up people from the train station. And so didn't really think anything of it. But Wade walked up to Clive around 10 minutes later and said, "You better go home, Clive."
That's scary.
Thought it was odd, but he also thought it was kind of not really a warning, but more of a demand type thing, the way he said it. Clyde just kind of stood around and he would tell Clive that he was just waiting for a friend. But then the 148 train comes and Wade boards it alone. A very short ride later, Wade arrived at Strathfield and he walked to the Strathfield Shopping Center. Strathfield Plaza is located opposite the Strathfield Rail Station. And in 1991, Strathfield Plaza, the shopping center, had a supermarket, a few cafes, a drugstore, a newsstand, and there's other little specialty shops in there. Wade walked into a coffee shop by the name of Coffee Pot, and with an emotionless blank stare, he started ordering cappuccinos and drinking them, one right after the other. Now, let me kind of explain to you the setup of this coffee shop, like who was sitting where. Wade was in a booth, and directly behind him was a 14-year-old girl by the name of Roberta, or Beau, Armstrong. Now, she was sitting there chatting with her best friend. And every once in a while, Wade would just kind of turn and stare at them. Just really creepy, just turn and stare. Not smile, not talk to him, just stare at him. Nothing like being 15 and having a 33-year-old man stare at you.
Yeah, that's, let's go.
It's creepy nonetheless, right? Uh-huh. Now, behind those two sat 47-year-old Carol Dickinson, her daughter Belinda, and her 17-year-old niece, Rochelle Milburn. In the booth right next to or across from Wade were 61-year-old Joyce Nixon, her 37-year-old daughter Patricia Rowe, and Patricia's sons, 14-year-old Kevin and 8-year-old Nathan. So by 3:30, Wade pays his bill and he stands up like he's starting to go. One of the waitresses saw Wade with a big smile on his face. In his hand was his huge Bowie knife.
Oh, no.
Now, first, she thought that this was some kind of horrible joke because Wade was smiling and laughing. But then Wade turns, takes the knife, and starts stabbing Beau Armstrong in the back. Beau starts to scream, and Wade brings down the knife two more times before Beau slumps over and dies, basically. Oh,
could you imagine being there and seeing that?
Horrible. The owner of the cake shop that was next door, his name is Bob Yardy, he said, quote, "I thought at first he was stabbing a couch, but then I turned back and saw this young woman slump forward." With a facial expression that the waitress claimed was jovial, creepy, Wade left the Bowie knife sticking out of Beau's back, went back into his black bag, and brought out the semi-automatic rifle he'd brought. He loaded it. All the customers in the coffee shop were stunned. They had just witnessed Wade stabbing this young girl. But then Wade took his rifle and aimed it at 8-year-old Nathan. Pat, his mother, screamed, "Get down!" And she threw her body in between Wade and her son. And Joyce tried to turn the table, making a shield for Kevin. But unfortunately, both Joyce and Pat were killed, protecting the boys. The boys did survive.
Wow.
George Mavis, the owner of the coffee pot, came out from the kitchen when he heard gunfire. Wade saw him, turned his gun, and shot. George fell to the ground dead as his brother James dived behind the coffee machine. Wade then aimed the SKK at Rachel Milburn and fired a shot to her head. Carol Dickinson jumped over the table and pushed her daughter Belinda away. Carol was shot in the stomach and would later die in the hospital that night. Belinda was able to run out of the coffee shop, but Wade chased her. He did shoot at her. She was injured, but she would recover. Now, by this time, Wade is out of the cafe, and he is running through the shopping plaza, just waving his gun and just firing his gun. No rhyme or reason, just firing it. And most of the bullets went into the ceiling of this plaza, the shopping plaza. And it's not like the American plazas. This was only one floor. It's not multi-leveled like we have here. Mm-hmm. Now, anyway, I should say. While Wade is out shooting erratically, 53-year-old Robertson Can Hawk June, apologize if I screwed up that name, he's Singaporean-born man, was living in Australia, had just walked out of a store, and he was standing at the escalator, and one of Wade's bullets found him, and he was killed. Hmm. By this time, shoppers are panicking, and they started to run for cover.
The mayhem alone would be just the
amazing.
People, yeah. Oof.
I mean, they were trying to get out of the building. Mm-hmm. They had no idea what was going on.
Right.
All they hear was shots fired. People are screaming, just panicking. And Wade was still firing rounds off. Bullets were hitting buildings across the square. Like, it hit a taxi cab window outside. It even hit the ticket station of the railway that was catty-cornered to the plaza. I mean, bullets were flying everywhere. Mm-hmm. Ex-Navy officer and Vietnam veteran Greg Reed, who was 41 years old at the time, heard the gunfire and ran out. He was in the newsstand, so he ran out into the mall or the plaza. He saw Wade heading for the ramp to the parking garage, which was located on the top of the shopping plaza, and Wade still firing his gun. Now, Greg noticed that Wade wasn't shooting at anybody that was laying on the ground, only people that were running away or hiding. Mm-hmm. So Greg started to run up the stairs, and he was screaming for everyone to, quote, hit the deck. And Greg recounted his ordeal. I'm going to read you exactly what he said here. Mm-hmm. Quote, I heard shots when I was at the news agency, and I raced out. I saw everybody running, and a lady screamed, look out, a man's gone berserk with a gun. The shots started coming towards me. I could see who was running to get out of the building. I raced up the stairs while he ran up the ramp. As I was running, he was shooting at everybody indiscriminately. I was in front of him by about 6 feet. I could hear all the shots. They were very loud. I reached the car park first and told a couple to hit the deck. Then, as I warned a woman driving out of the car park to lie low, she said, quote, too late, he's already behind you.
Oh, God, I just got shivers. Whew.
I turned, and he was just a couple meters away. I dived under the car, and that's how I got shot in the feet. Looking over the barrel of his gun, I guess you could say I had eye contact with him.
Oh.
Police would later say that Greg's heroic actions saved 8 lives. He was awarded the Star of Courage, and per wiki, that is, it's a ribbon, like those pin military style ribbons, mm-hmm. right? With the star on the bottom. Mm-hmm. And it says this decoration recognizes acts of bravery by members of the community. They selfishly put themselves in jeopardy to protect the lives or property of others. And it's ranked 2nd in the Australian Civil Bravery Decorations and the Australian Honor System. And if you get this award, you can use the little letters SC at the end of your name.
Aw, that's nice.
I would
use those letters all the time.
I'd be wearing that medal all the time. Are you kidding me? And jingling it all the time, asking you want to know what this means?
Hey,
you want to know what I did? Yeah. But you know what? True heroes don't do that kind of stuff, so we'll never be true heroes.
Thank you. I would have ran out there anyway.
Constable Darren Stewart was the first police officer to arrive at the scene. He said, quote, I sprinted to the police car and raced to the scene. When I arrived, the guy was still firing. He was on a car park roof, firing shots into crowds, firing up to 100 meters. Catherine Noyes, which if I mispronounce that, I apologize, last name Noyes, had just gotten into her car about to drive away when Wade angrily called for her to stop. She was clueless. She had no idea that there had been a shooting mm-hmm. at the plaza.
Right.
It wasn't until she stopped the car and she saw that she had a gun that she became frightened. So Wade gets into the car and aims the rifle to her head. Then he demanded that she drive him to Enfield. Now, that's another suburb about 5 minutes away, I think. And before she could drive away, Catherine said she could hear the police sirens. Wade told her not to panic and then said, quote, I'm sorry. And that's when she did panic, because those two little words made her think that he was apologizing because he was going to shoot her.
That's what I would think.
Yeah. But instead of shooting her, he let out this little small groan and then just told her to pull the car over and then had her stop so he could get out of the car.
Good.
After Wade exited the vehicle, Catherine took off, right? But as she was driving away, she looked in the rearview mirror and saw Wade turn the rifle on himself and pull the trigger.
Yeah.
There's no other way out of it, to be quite honest.
No, there's not.
Constable Stewart was still in the plaza when he heard the single gunshot. He raced to the ground and he saw Wade with a bullet wound to his head laying in a pool of blood. This whole ordeal took 10 minutes. Over 50 rounds were shot. 8 people, which I've included the gunman, Wade, were killed. And there were 6 others wounded.
I'm honestly surprised there wasn't a lot more with all the gunfire.
I'm shocked too.
And the knife. And
maybe because of the time of the day it was. It wasn't during like after work mm-hmm. where people were probably at. I mean, it's 3:30 in the yeah. afternoon. I'm assuming people in Australia work until 5 or 6 p.m. So I could be wrong. I don't know. It didn't take long for police to search Wade's apartment. Inside, they found a bunch of notes Wade had written to himself, but I couldn't find them anywhere, and I don't believe
are they suicide
they were ever
notes
made
or just like
public.
Scribblings? Were they suicide notes?
They're just
notes
scribbling,
or scribblings.
Just okay. scribblings. They also found a large amount of pornography and violent magazines, and I'm assuming the pornography was violent.
Right.
He had a well-worn copy of American Psycho by Bret Easton Ellis, which came out earlier the year that in 1991. So he had was big book along with Crime and Punishment. Also, one of the articles I read in the main character of the book, Patrick Bateman, he was a psychopath, obviously, and he would kill prostitutes. But supposedly they, and I read it a long time ago and I don't remember it, but the article claimed that there's something like, you better go home, that Patrick Bateman said to a woman right before he was going to kill her.
Mm-hmm.
So they think that maybe he said that to Clive.
So he liked Clive. Just, right? I mean, he was trying to help him?
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah. We don't know. No, he's dead. We don't have any idea what was going through his mind when this happened.
Right.
But they are saying, they are claiming he did a lot of his actions because of American Psycho.
Yeah.
The book.
Hmm.
Like I said, I read it a long time ago. I don't remember that happening. And of course, I asked my husband because American Psycho is one of his favorite movies. He said he kind of remembered it in the movie, but he wasn't for sure. So then he started watching American Psycho. So
yeah.
That's how my night ended up.
Okay, well.
The movie with Christian Bale. Mm-hmm, he loves that mm-hmm, movie.
Mm-hmm.
Police also saw that Wade had a copy of Taxi Driver with Robert De Niro. Hmm. And for those of you who don't know this film, which is, I'm not going to pass judgment,
you talking
but it's
to me?
Kind of shocking.
Are you talking to me? You.
It's kind of shocking if you haven't seen this film or don't know about it, but it's about a lonely cab driver who slowly descends into madness, and he plots to kill a politician and a pimp, basically. And also the main character shaves his head before he, like, really gets crazy. We do know that Wade didn't really have a great childhood. He was kind of unhappy. His mm-hmm. parents were very controlling, very mm-hmm. big disciplinarians.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, so much so that they picked out Wade's clothes for him to wear, and they even picked who he was going to hang out with. Picked his friends. He was sent to this like fancy private school, and he was very shy, withdrawn, and he had a chubby face, and the kids called him Piggy because of it. And when he went to this private school, he was truancy, lots of habitually truant.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually got expelled from there and went to another school that I can't really tell if it's private or if it's public. Either way, he did graduate high school. That's mm-hmm. all I'm going to say. The other fancy one was a boarding school, but he wasn't sent. He didn't live there. He lived at home.
Yeah, I got you.
After he graduated, he left home and he started to work at a clothing store. He got engaged and he was like working out, dressing to the nines. You know, he was going out, had a healthy social life, and, you know, he was living the good life, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then in 1987, his father died of emphysema. still going on, but he's kind of starting to decline because we see in 1989, he does kind of a 180 personality-wise. Mm-hmm. That's when he first started. He shaved his head and he called off his engagement, started to hang out with sex workers in King's Cross. And I looked up King's Cross and it seems it's located in downtown Sydney and known as the Golden Mile for its infamous brothels, organized crime, and police corruption from the 1960s until the 1980s. And thank you, some Sydney TV station that I took that from that I forgot to source. My apologies. But yeah, I will source that in the show notes.
Okay. All right.
But yeah, so King's Cross was a seedy part of town back in the day. Mm-hmm. It might still be. I don't know. But I like the name of it, King's Cross.
I do too. I think I might have been there. I'm not sure.
Australia is a place that I'd like to go. It's one of my top five.
Is it?
And you guys will all find. Mm-hmm. By 1990, his mother got into her car and committed suicide by carbon monoxide poisoning. Ugh. She gassed herself. Wade moved back to North Strathfield, where he lived in his family home with his little sister and her boyfriend. He, by this time, quit his job at the clothing store and started to drive a taxi cab. His appearance, which was once very neat, very spiffy, became sloppy, and he gained weight. Neighbors would later tell the media that he would, like, wear baggy army cutoff shorts, t-shirts, and he just...
He kind of quit taking care of himself.
Yeah. A neighbor also said that, you know, he rarely left the house, and he seemed very lonely. Now, Wade was smart, and he did seek help. He went to a psychologist about his depression, mm-hmm. and basically because of his mother's death, right? Which the suicide would definitely cause major depression.
I would think so.
The doctor diagnosed him as being emotionally insecure and abnormally dependent on his mother, although he hated her and felt she didn't love him. But like a lot of people, Wade quit seeing the doctor after four sessions. I will say it's a commitment, but it's worth it. So if you need to seek help, please seek help and stick with it. Now, Wade did get an inheritance and went through the equivalent of $10,000 in today's cash in a short period of time. He spent most of the money on sex workers. And on January 16th, 1991, Wade bought the rifle and the Bowie knife that he used in this massacre. And when filling out the application to get his shooter's license, he claimed he was going to use the gun to shoot pigs.
Like pigs?
Real pigs, okay. Not the slang for police officers. Yeah. Okay. I'm assuming. I really would think that if he would put pigs on a government document that they would deny him. I would hope. But then he told his sister's boyfriend that he originally bought the gun to, quote, wipe people out and to, quote, protect himself. And the only time he ever used it was the day of this massacre. He never shot the gun otherwise.
And I guess she never reported him. Mm-hmm.
Mm. Police believe that Wade planned this massacre for at least 8 months, and he originally was going to target the North Strathfield station. And of course, like always here in the United States, after the murders, there was an outcry over the New South Wales gun law. You know how the United States does, you know, after a big shooting. Everybody always goes for gun laws and it disappears. Mm-hmm. But with this, many people believed that it was too easy to buy guns, and especially the semi-automatic guns. But another guy, psychiatrist by the name of Rod Melton, who also wrote the book Profile of a Masked Killer, Wade Frankum at Strathfield Plaza, which, by the way, if you desire, there is one on eBay for sale for over $200. Well, Dr. Rod did the old, hey, he only did this because of the violence in the books and the pornography and the movies and the medias and whatever. He said all that was for the reason that Wade became a mass murderer. Mm-hmm. And the state coroner, Kevin Waller, he agreed, but he focused mainly on let's try to do the gun laws. But he did quote, which kind of made me laugh, even though it's not funny, but the quote made me laugh. Quote, guns and porn make a lethal mix.
Well, you could take that several different ways.
Yeah, I don't know. It just, I guess, it just struck me as funny as, maybe it's not funny, But at the time, that quote
struck
me as kind of funny.
I think he should have expanded on that. But
you know. And maybe he did, but mm-hmm. that's the only quote I could find. Mm-hmm. But anyway, mm-hmm. enough of that. But even though there's still a lot of talk about changing the gun laws, it was just talk. But nothing would happen until 1996. And that's when 29-year-old Martin Bryant went on a 2-day shooting spree in Port Arthur, Tasmania, Australia. 35 people were killed and 23 were wounded. And it's called the Port Arthur Massacre, and it's considered the worst massacre in modern Australia committed by a single person. Now, this would finally bring about the changes of gun control laws in Australia. Semi-automatic and pump-action shotguns and rifles were banned, and a tax-refunded firearm buyback and amnesties saw over 700,000 guns surrendered from 12 million Australians. And I also got that from another site that I will source, but I forgot to write this down here. So on October 22nd, 1991, the Strathfield Council erected a memorial in the Strathfield Town Center to commemorate the Strathfield Massacre. And the plaque states, quote, "This tree was planted to remember those who were killed in Strathfield Plaza on Saturday, 17th August, 1991. It lists the names Roberta Armstrong, Carol Dickinson, George Mavris, Rochelle Milburn, Joyce Nixon, Patricia Rowe, and Robertson Can Hawk June. This tree is a sign of our commitment to work for a more peaceful community." And that's the case of the Strathfield Massacre.
I don't understand what goes through those people's minds. I mean, and I don't mean this to be brash, but if he was depressed, you know, I could understand that. But to kill all those people and then kill himself doesn't make any, I don't know. I just don't understand it.
But I don't understand the reason for that either. And I, thankfully, I think a lot of people don't understand it.
Yeah, really.
Nor will ever do it. But it's, yeah, it's shocking. I mean, he just,
and there's no,
as
answers.
The Australian said, a berserker, or he just went berserk and just snapped,
yep.
I guess, a mental break. But I don't know. Those.
And you know, I don't like not having answers. And so
I know.
That bugs me. That
and
there's no answer.
I'll tell you, I believe it was Joyce and Patricia, Joyce Nixon and Patricia Rowe with the two boys there. They had just gotten back from seeing Joyce's husband in the hospital. That he was, I don't know why he was in the hospital, but they had just, you know, mm-hmm. it was just a day. Let's go visit grandpa. And
it's terrible.
This is what happens. Just a normal day. Bo Armstrong was chatting with her best friend over probably just shopping and then decided to go get a drink. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really scary.
Very scary. And things can change in the blink of an eye. Right?
And Merry Christmas.
Oh, and happy holidays. No, it was a good
job. But it's just, it's a horrible case. I'm not going to get into the gun laws thing, but Australia solved their problem. So.
Yeah, that is true.
At least, you know, they still have guns and rifles. I don't want anybody to think, you know, mm-hmm. they still have their guns. They just don't have the semi-automatics. Or the pump action guns.
Yep.
Those are harder to get.
All right, Jen. That was good. You ready for the next day?
I am. It's number 9, right?
Nine.
That's you?
9. That would be me.
9 is fine. Awesome.
All right. So until tomorrow, Jen, remember, lock your doors.
And keep passing by those open windows.
Bye-bye.
Love ya. Wrap your gifts if you haven't. Get going. Time's getting late. Today's episode was researched and written by me, Jen. For more information about this episode, as well as all other sources, please check out our show notes or the podcast website at ourtruecrimepodcast.com. Our True Crime Podcast is developed and created by the hosts, Jen and Cam. Original music and audio mix of all Our True Crime Podcast episodes is courtesy of Nico Vertese from We Talk of Dreams. You can reach Nico at WeTalkOfDreams.com. Listener discretion is provided by Edward October from Octoberpod VHS. You can find all of his great works on YouTube. Please make sure to like and subscribe to our true crime podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts. We can be reached on Instagram and Facebook at Our True Crime Podcast or on Twitter with the handle at Our True Crime Pod. You can also email us at ourtruecrimepodcast@gmail.com. We would also at this time like to thank our patrons. We would be so lost without you. Thank you so much. And if you would like to help support the show, you can check us out on patreon.com/ourtruecrimepodcast. You can also show your support by leaving a 5-star review on Apple or simply just tell your friends about us. It's that easy. Love ya. So it's actually. Listen to me. It's he saw Wed. Nope. Wed. It's Wade. He saw Wade heading for the ramp to the parking garage, which was on top of the shopping plaza. And Greg was still firing. Not Greg. Sorry. Wade was still firing the gun. I'm tired. I'm telling you. Oh, I'm having problems with these names.
Okay.
So it didn't take long before police searched Wayne's apartment. Not Wade. It's Wade. Yep. They could have searched Wayne's apartment too, but I don't know Wayne.
Wayne's World. That's a different one.
He doesn't even belong in the story. So it didn't take long for police to find.
Did it take long, Jen, for them to? I don't know what, because we haven't gotten that far.
I keep adding words that aren't, shouldn't, like, I've got the dump today. I'm telling you.
You know what you need? Wayne. If Wayne was here, he'd
write Wayne would help me through it. Would. Fuck this Wade guy. Wayne is the guy that I need.
Wayne 2024 president. You know what I'm saying?
Actually, if Greg, our hero, was here, Greg Reed.
Oh, he would help you too.
He'd do it. He'd be awesome. This made Wave. Now he's Wave. He was Wade. Now he's Wave. He's got a lot of nicknames, not just Piggy. All right.
I'm getting the giggles. Oh, shoot.
Sorry.
It's okay. I'm trying to focus.